Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This NBA playoff picks edition of the Sports Gambling Podcast is presented by WinBet. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WynNBet.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by Coors Light. When you're sweating out your bets, remember to take some time to chill and grab the perfect cold refreshment, Coors Light. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is home to the Best Ball Mania 2 contest where you can win $1 million. That's right, $1 million. Sign up now at UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Hey, this is Derek Stevens. I'm the owner of Circa Las Vegas. You're listening to SGPN. Let it ride.
Welcome everyone to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer dog?
Wow, what timing. Beautiful crack. 8.9 style too. You really had the elbow up.
Threw the elbow up, cracking the cores, getting it going early.
I love the NBA playoffs. I was telling you earlier, it just reminds me how easy it is to bet on the NBA playoffs. I'm on a fucking heater. Let's go.
You are on a heater.
Let's go.
I had a couple nice picks yesterday. I actually parlayed the Knicks and the Sixers.
Diabolical.
That was pretty sweet. I actually stayed away from betting that Memphis Grizzlies won because I that felt like it got a little cute, but it almost covered at the end there. They only won by 12, I think it was. So the 9.5 or 10 was right on the edge there. So much to get to. And of course, it's NBA playoff season. Let's go, baby. Make sure you're heading over to the winbet.com, WynNBet.com. Download the app today. And if you head over there right now, you get a special offer up to $500. That's right, up to a $500 risk-free sports bet. Terms and conditions apply, but they got it all over at WynNBet, including generous promos, odds, parlays, even a parlay boost. It's all happening over at WynNBet. The NBA playoffs are here, and your betting companion, WynNBet. Bring the excitement of Las Vegas to the palm of your hands via the Wynn betting app, WynNBet.com, LFG. All right, Kramer, energy high. We're ready to rip it. We're taping this Thursday night. During the first quarter of the Suns Lakers game. So keep that in mind as we're walking through these games. And we are joined by one of the hosts of the NBA Gambling Podcast. And you can check out his writing over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Dan Titus. Dan, I know you're a fellow Sixers fans. 2-0. Gotta be feeling pretty good right now about the Sixers.
I feel great about the Sixers right now. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Appreciate it.
Long overdue. Thank you for beaming me up to the mothership here.
Hell yeah.
Happy to talk about the playoffs, talk Sixers, man. I mean, Sean, you know better than I, man. We don't get this. The first seed for the Sixers, man, this doesn't happen very often, man. What's it been since 2001 practically? So when we've actually been like in contention to actually have a shot at a championship here. So I'm a Sixers fan, I'm riding this. I'm loving it.
It's funny you mentioned 2001 because that takes me back to some of my favorite Sixers memory. Probably my favorite Sixers memory as a fan, 2001 senior year of high school, like closing out high school in general. We have Sixers win against the Lakers. They're up 1-0 in the series. Was able to get a fake ID, scored some scored some Bush Pounders from an Italian restaurant. They didn't even card me. That was a funny thing. I got the fake ID, didn't even card me. Got the Bush Pounders. Got the AI step over Ty Lue. Got really drunk. My buddy had a pool. It was. I just remember it was like an early. It was like early June night. High school was wrapping up. It was just all time basketball.
But Sean, the process can't be validated because this is everything you don't stand for.
I did hate the process.
Yes. Tanking. Not trying to win games.
Well, now they're trying to win, and I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying, and we're getting. If we get this version of Ben Simmons for the rest of the playoffs, look out, because when he's aggressive, going to the hole, and just kind of creating some opportunities for the offense, and still playing great defense, and doing everything else he does, when he gets back in that like weird passive, I don't know what I did, but starting game two, he was just going right to the rim, dominating. How excited are you about Simmons? I mean, if we're getting this Simmons, we're going to be in good shape.
Yeah, you know, it's really been the topic of conversation in Philly for a while, man. Is like this guy could be upside a better, I would say comparable to like a Magic Johnson. Just his offensive skill set is just lacking. So when he's aggressive and he's playing downhill, I mean, Ben Simmons is at his best. And defensively, I think is where the Sixers are going to be a problem for future teams in the Eastern Conference. Even the Nets is that, you know, they have such wing depth and length at all positions that I think they're going to be really tough to guard. But yeah, they're better when Simmons is actually being aggressive and not being passive. But to be honest though, man, he's a pain in the ass. Like I would just wish he could shoot like a 15 footer, right? Like be able to pull up from the free throw line a couple times. I don't need you to shoot a lot of volume. Just do it a couple times.
I get it, right? It's the NBA. They're playing at a different level. Okay, I completely acknowledge that. But he's unguarded at the elbow. And when you leave Sean Green unguarded at the elbow, I can make buckets. A couple of shots. I can get you. I can get you 40% from the elbow if I'm completely unguarded. And that's what he is.
What is the thing.
I just like, don't. And even the free throws, like, you're really good at basketball. We know that. We see how well you are at handling the ball. You obviously have great hand-eye coordination. How can you not figure out free throws? So I at least give Shaq somewhat of a pass because he has this like freakishly large body.
Well, but that's the thing, right? Like when we were kids, we were programmed by the establishment to believe that it's hard for big guys to shoot the free throws because higher up, right? Yeah. Like the angle stuff. B, their hands are so big. All right. Yao Ming came along and just completely fucked that one up. And so now what's the millennial version of that? Because to your point, if your job is basketball, as Colby likes to remind us, our job is sports. So we know sports.
Yeah.
If my job was basketball, I would know how to hit a 15 footer. But what I would say is though,
to practice and be better at.
How long were we frustrated with LeBron James being passive, not necessarily having the range in his shot? And cut to today, we see LeBron fucking doing Steph Curry fadeaways into the bench. I mean,
it is insane, kind of the deep three ball that he's developed late.
Shooting is like golf. It's like it's like one of these repetition things. You just have to be willing to do it more than your competition.
Put the time into the
gym.
Just
shows like, what else, he's not trying.
What else are you doing?
That's the exact thing that I question, man. What is his work ethic like? I see him, and when it's summertime in the off season, this man is chilling on yachts with Kardashians, right? And I can't knock him, man. Like he's like I would do that if I was 23 too. Like, but at the same time, it's your craft. You're getting paid. You're about to get a super max, right? And you should be able to shoot a jump shot, bro. Just give me 13 feet. Give me a baby hook. That's not like this ugly shit that he always constantly, dude, his touch around the rim. All right. Don't get me started, but yes, I'm happy for the way the Sixers are playing right now. And Simmons, he looks great against a bum ass Wizards team. But like when we face the Knicks, that's actually a formidable defense. Shout to you, Kramer. I know I think that the Knicks are going to get it through.
Puff but my chest out.
We're really looking past. We're looking past them. We're going to see the Nets in the Eastern Conference.
I love that. And shout out to the YouTube chat. I see some of the regulars in Slack over there. Sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Slack and youtube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast. Brandon saying, I know this is an NBA podcast, but when is the next Zed horse race?
Hashtag Degens only.
Yes, we are. Our horse is ice cold, but we keep running this thing. Check it out in the Slack. We're always pumping the links in there. It's a wild ride as a horse owner. We're talking basketball, but we're really getting away from the number one most important story. A man poured popcorn on another man. It lit up the internet. I thought it was really funny to lean in the fact of saying, oh my God, a guy drops a popcorn accidentally and Russell Westbrook is the freaks out. And people did not like that take. I also tweeted out a joke that he's day to day with popcorn head. Again, people were like, the sanctimonious responses of like, how dare you? You think you're better than these people? It's like, no, dude, I'm joking. I'm messing around. Obviously, if you're an adult, you shouldn't throw other stuff on another adult, but let's get real here. It is popcorn. Of all the things you throw at someone, it's fucking popcorn.
But, and can I just make a commentary?
You shouldn't throw stuff at people. That's obvious. But if you're going to throw something, popcorn's probably the funniest and probably the least harmful and disrespectful. I mean, the Knicks fan fucking spit on Trae Young.
Yeah.
The popcorn story take first place away from the spitting story?
And I am personally proud of this country for taking us. This is a celebration coming out of COVID, right?
Yeah.
We get to do all those things. We get to touch other humans and we've forgotten what it's like to interact with human beings. So that's why you're seeing in every single series I had to mute the Athletic alerts today because holy shit, this team is kicking fans out. Some fans have been banned from Madison Square. Every series has fan like quote unquote violence issues. No, this is just human interaction, guys. We should be happy about this. It's happening. We should be happy a guy can throw popcorn.
Yeah, at freedom. Let's go,
Russell Westbrook. Just like batteries were thrown at Santa Claus. Yeah. Plenty of great things have come out of the stands onto the field.
I mean, Dan, where are you on popcorn gate?
Let's be honest here. Like Philly is, you brought up the batteries, obviously, we'll never let down our Santa moment, but let's not forget that Barkley spit on a fan.
Yeah.
Back in the day. I'm just glad that it didn't escalate to a Malice in the Palace level. Cause like the way that Russ was like acting, it was like, he was going to get up in the stands over some popcorn. I agree. It was definitely blown out of proportion in terms of like, you drop popcorn on me, bro. Like
yeah.
The spit, if I'm Trae Young, I'm going to be a lot more pissed off if someone spits on me. Like that's another level of disrespect. Popcorn throwing. But I get it because Russ has had this continued history of wherever he goes, he gets disrespected. And I feel him from a player safety standpoint. Like if God forbid it was something worse than popcorn,
yeah,
who knows? It might escalate to something else. I get that. But LeBron's response on Twitter, and I'll be honest, I don't do the LeBron drama. I think he's a bitch. Like he just is so corny with a lot of his responses with everything. Yeah. And like, he's like, we demand that, you give us the guy's name and put his face on the TV. And it's like, the guy dropped some popcorn. Like,
also this dude is probably just some, fucking rando from Philly. And he's probably
from Kensington.
Yeah. He's probably some Delco dude who scalped some ticket. And he's probably tweeting at LeBron James. He's like, yeah, it's me. You want to meet up at Wawa? Let's go. Like, do you think the guy's scared of LeBron? Like he should be probably, but he's not.
And this is the first step in the true player empowerment era, which is no more fans. Yeah. They're like,
they heard our verbal assault and popcorn. This is the USA Today Sports headline. Had me rolling. It says, quote, the fan who dumped popcorn on Russell Westbrook will pay the ultimate price. Do you agree with it? Too harsh, not enough. And then they clarify, okay, let us be clear. This fan is not actually getting the death penalty. come on. What world are we living in?
The freight train I saw starting to gain steam this morning when Sean was battling over this. I knew this was going to be the end of it. We're going to have Sean jumping up on the table talking about how soft everyone is.
I know. I'm trying not to be the old man on the lawn thing with this, but it's popcorn, man. I'm a franchise player. We're talking about popcorn.
You can't win because T.O. caught shit for throwing popcorn on himself. So you know.
I mean, again,
very confusing messaging,
you
know, here.
Very, very obvious. You shouldn't throw stuff. But of all the things to throw, I mean, what's cotton candy? Where are we at with cotton candy? Also, Russell Westbrook. That was another pretty fun part. That was, you know, he's like limping off gingerly as if he's just, you know, like he's saving Private Ryan. They're pulling him out of a foxhole. And then as soon as he gets hit with a popcorn, he's jacked up, ready to beat the shit out of some dude in an Iverson jersey.
Dude, they had like eight people holding him back. Like, what the fuck?
Where was that energy on the court? Where was that before you got hurt?
I will say I have noticed a slight uptick in WWE type like fall. But I've seen Blake Griffin do like four separate, like as if he got shot from the rafters.
It's fun. All right, let's get to it. We got a ton of games to pick against the spread. Before we get to that, shouting out Coors Light. Perfect, actually, transition. I mean, that fan should have just hit the reset button. Should have just chilled. Should have just cracked an ice cold Coors Light. And when you're at the game, that's what you should be. What you should be sipping on. It is really. It's a go world. Again, Ryan, between betting on all these games, betting on day baseball, which I know nothing about, managing our horse stable, trying to figure out how we can get this horse to race faster. It's a lot. Sometimes you need to hit the reset button, but what better way to hit the reset button than with the Coors Light Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's literally made to chill. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. Perfect for a moment to unwind. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. That's certainly true. So when you need to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate responsibly. And what better way than getting Coors Light delivered to your house? Don't have to even leave. You got back-to-back-to-back NBA playoff games. Just get some Coors and chill.
Quick question. Do they have drone deliveries yet?
Very close. I feel like we got to be close because I've seen they have robots delivering for Domino's. So I feel like the Coors Light drone is right around the corner.
Someone's going to get a 30 pack. Like when I see that headline, right? Someone gets a 30 pack dropped on their head. All right,
they're going to be crushed. Okay, you mentioned it, Dan. The Knicks. You think the Knicks? It sounds like you think the Knicks are going moving on. But let's just talk about Game Three. Big pivotal Game Three. As Magic Johnson tweeted out, oftentimes Game Three and or Game Five are important in the series.
What a gem! What a fucking national treasure.
Fun to follow on Twitter. Hawks at home, laying four, -165. Knicks plus 140 coming the other way. I mean, watching that game too, it felt like the Knicks almost were letting that game go, but then the Garden being at home carried them. Are they going to have that ability to steal one on the road here? Where are you at, Dan? Knicks getting four against the Hawks.
Yeah. I picked the Knicks for the series, but you know, I can't deny how well the Hawks have played at home under Nate McMillan. I think that this is actually a pretty comfortable place for the Hawks. I think it took Madison Square Garden to will the Knicks back into that game on Tuesday, Wednesday. What day is today?
Yeah.
Damn, I'm blurring.
It all runs together.
Too much Coors Light. but no, man, like I think, It really took. I mean, they were kicking the Knicks ass in the first half here, and then they really locked down Trae Young and Bogdanovich in the second half. So I think it's going to swing a little bit more of a momentum back to Atlanta. So I'm going to take them -4 as the favorites here. But I think, you know, I think I would actually feel more comfortable taking their first half, just given how well they came out last game. I think we're going to see Trae Young obviously pissed off from the spitting incident. We saw DeAndre Hunter make his return to play, and he scored 18 points, 6 rebounds. I think he's been a huge boost for the Atlanta Hawks, but I think they're going to steal game three.
Yeah. I still kind of like Knicks for the series, but I think Atlanta at home laying four, very reasonable. This feels like a letdown spot for the Knicks. They finally got that first playoff win and God knows how long. Now you got and Derrick Rose had a really good game, but now you got to travel down to Atlanta. They, you know, I don't know. I think Derrick Rose is going to be sore. you know, he's been banged up a lot in his career, but Atlanta 10-0 straight up the last 10 at home. I don't know. They've been on fire, and especially at home. I think this is just a good bounce back spot for them coming off that loss. I think they're going to win. I think they're going to cover. Kramer, where are you at? Are you going to ride with your Knicks? This feels like a
come on,
in
bro.
Classic zigzag fashion. This feels like the Knicks dropped this one.
I'm a NBA playoff handicapper, bro. And this is situational shit 101. Atlanta's going to roll here. And if you want to have some fun, Atlanta -9.5 +200.
Oh, wow. Alternate lines. Let's go.
I mean, again, you want to feel the flow of the NBA playoffs and, you know, original pick Knicks in seven, standing on Knicks in seven. This one goes to the Hawks big time.
Yeah. And the Knicks in seven, it does seem like it's kind of,
still in play,
shaping up to be that. Certainly next game, Nets head to Boston. Nets laying 7.5, -360. Celtics coming back the other way, +280. Friday night action. I mean, you know, there's certainly a world where the Celtics win one because Tatum goes off, but man, I just do not see it. Celtics kind of hung around for that first half, but now Brooklyn is just, you know, putting their boot right on their throat and choking them out. I mean, they were shooting really well. I just don't see Boston getting up for this game. I know the number 7.5 is a little high, but it doesn't seem like there's this traditional. Normally the Celtics, even if they weren't an amazing team, they still had a decent amount of fight in them and were a tough out as a home dog. But I just don't see that in this Celtics team. Dan, do you think they can cover the number or any shot to win this outright?
Boston has no chance, bro. Like yeah, I just don't, right? I don't see it, to your point, man. Like Boston it's Tatum or nothing. And you know, Kemba Walker, he had a decent game, but it only came in garbage time. Evan Fournier, I've been hating on him a lot on the podcast. I got burned because he hit this, you know, a three that didn't matter. Lost my player prop. Was kind of pissed about it, but that dude's not a good fit there. They just don't have enough firepower, man. Like I think that this one could be one of those Sixers scenarios where this is over in the third quarter and you're going to see the stars rest in the fourth quarter. I just don't see it. Give me the Nets -7. I think this is actually pretty comfortable. They're going to win by double digits.
Yeah. And I forgot to give out the series price for Knicks Hawks. Knicks right now +120, Hawks -40. It sounds like we're all taking the Hawks. Maybe just wait till Hawks win game three. And then you can probably Knicks will be up. It'll probably bump up to like 140, 150. So maybe look to play them series price after the next Hawks win. As far as the Nets Celtics, I mean, it's insane right now. Nets -3,300 on the series price. Celtics +1,200. Not looking good either way. Kramer, you making it a clean sweep here? Nets -7.5.
I mean, have you watched the Celtics?
They look so dead.
We discussed this coming in. Yeah, and we discussed this with Brooklyn, right? Like, what if everyone is saying like, well, what if they're not ready to play? What if this? What about? Well, what so far what I've seen is like they seem pretty like they're obviously not 100% tuned up, but they're still whooping ass. And yes, as I pointed out, I took the Brooklyn sweep at 4-1 because it just felt like the most ridiculous price out there. Nothing will stop this. The Boston's done. Boston is not.
They want no part of the season.
They don't have enough.
Yeah, and we saw that in Miami tonight. It felt like Miami did the math. All of a sudden, they're like, wait, if we just lose these two games, we don't have to get on a plane to go to Milwaukee.
And I would say Kyrie seems engaged, which he's pretty good. And he's gonna engaged.
He for whatever reason he has a huge chip on his shoulder.
Not a fan of Boston
against the city of Boston. Who knows what went down there? You know, well, Kyrie's a bit of a squirrely gentleman. But he seems.
I mean, are we surprised?
I mean, Boston,
man. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I feel like every time I went to Boston, I feel like some racist shit would probably happen.
Well, but
Kyrie's also like a weird dude. So, I mean, I could see it from both sides.
I mean, the day Kyrie signed in Boston, you knew that was never going to end well. I think the only way this gets fucked up is like you said, they just decide they're going to check out and like the twos go on a run or something.
Yeah, but I think especially game three, like I said, Kyrie seems to have a chip on his shoulder and I think he's going to carry him. And I think Durant and Harden are even going to go out of their way to set him up. I would look to some Kyrie player props as well.
Real chalky so far.
Clippers.
Super chalky.
It is, it's super chalky, but I don't know, man. I can't find another angle on those two. Clippers, this one I think is probably one of the harder ones. Clippers lane two in Dallas. So they're still a road favorite in spite of the fact they're down 0-2 in the series. Mavs 3-point shooting has been insane, 53% and 47% in the first two games. But the Clippers are shooting pretty well themselves. Like, they got a bunch of points out of Kawhi and Paul George. They just cannot hang with this Mavs team. It's weird too, because you would expect Dallas to cool off, but now they have so much momentum. Luka's back home. This is Luka's first spot in front of a playoff crowd, I think, since he's been at this next level, because it's been these past two seasons, wasn't playing in a crowd previously, and now a playoff game. Mavs are going to be going nuts. And clearly there's a ton of dysfunction on the Clippers side, but man, are they really going to go down 3-0? This is just such a must win for the Clippers. I think I'm going to have to take Clippers, but geez, this is a tough one. Titus, where are you at on this one?
Yeah, man, this is really a tough one. I was riding with the Clippers, man. I thought that they're going to be one of the more dangerous teams. I thought that they're easily the most dangerous four seed in this competition for the championship, man. And they just look like, it's just the Luka effect. Like, I can't be mad at Luka Magic, man. The dude is unreal. The Mavericks are shooting unconscious, as you stated, from three, but they're just, I feel like their rhythm is just, they're comfortable. And I thought that the Clippers defense would be a little bit more disruptive. Like, maybe we see Rondo on Luka a little bit more, some more tenacity. And after that dunk of Kawhi Leonard in game one, like, I thought that would have been enough momentum to get them hyped up to win. But I mean, that's just seemingly, they just rolled right past that. And I want to go Clippers. I mean, I tend to go Clippers here. Like, I think that the Clippers are still going to make this a series. I have them going very deep. I had them going to the Western Conference Finals, so I got to stick to my guns here, but I don't feel comfortable with it. So I'm going to pivot to a Luka player prop. I see it as a points line at 29.5. I'm going to take the over on that. He scored 39 in the first game, 31 in the second. I don't see any reason why that should be under 30, because this guy's getting a bucket, whatever he wants. So,
and maybe I missed it, but Luka's. And yeah, I like that angle too. You can kind of hedge your bets there, but, and maybe I missed it, but are they even trying to put Kawhi on Luka? Like, Kawhi, I mean, they called him the Claw. Like, where I know he's kind of, it seems like he's kind of, you know, not gone like hardcore all defense when since he's kind of been dealing with like the nagging on and off injuries. But did I miss, where has Kawhi been playing on Luka at all?
Not that I've seen, man.
Yeah, he's, I don't think so.
Been more so morphed into this, like, my good hand. Like, he's just not playing. I mean, he's good playing great off the ball defense, but I mean, I haven't seen any real Claw. I mean, him and Paul George should be harassing Luka at all costs. That should be a double team at half court. But I haven't really seen it yet. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Clippers, you know, Ty Lue's a vet. He's got a ring. I'm sure he'll make certain adjustments, but with their back against the wall going to Dallas, man, this is the final straw, man. They got to win this game. So I'm not surprised that they're the favorite, but I also wouldn't be surprised to see the Dallas Mavericks upset them and, you know, take this 3-0.
And this is so funny, because the Clippers were sitting guys, you know, sitting Paul and Kawhi, so that they would be able to play the Mavs and avoid the Lakers. And now they're 0-2 heading to Dallas. There's gotta karma, be some bro. Switch that.
I mean, gets so played. if you're Lou, what you do is you pull out some dream team tape of what they did to Tony Kukoc, and you say this, you show this to Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and say, we need you to do this to fucking Luka and show him what the NBA is all the fuck about. I get it. Luka's good. Second thing, this number tells you what they think about where the money's going to come in. Cause I got to imagine everyone's betting Dallas. I got to imagine that the this Clippers line, like, this is going to move, right?
Do you think?
Don't you wait? I mean, it's here because I'm guessing that smart people are betting the Clippers, because I would have to imagine Joe Q Public is saying, like, what? Dallas is an underdog. They're up 2-0 and now they're coming home.
Yeah.
It's too easy. Let me get the other side of that, Sean. Clippers -2, just simply for that. I think we're going to be on, and you probably can wait. I think this is one you
maybe get 1.5.
You know, if you're
one,
listening to this on your morning jog, maybe it's time to punch the ticket. Maybe you wait right till tip off.
I like your
Well, our fans.
I like your optimism that our listeners are the type that are jogging.
They're healthy, right? Are they exercise.
I'm sure there's a couple fellow runners out there. But
a shout out to XFL Jim. I saw his physique on the roof today in his video. I mean, he looked excellent.
What about the series price, Kramer? I feel like we were talking about this in the office. Clippers plus 200.
There's no value,
Mavs
right?
minus 250. Oh man, it's tempting. Titus, are you thinking about getting involved in the series at all? I'm with you. I had them winning the West.
Give me the Clips, man. I'm still riding with them despite how horrible they've looked, man. I've seen worse. And to Kramer's point, man, actually that's a really good comparison in doing that last dance, you know, stop Kukoc with Pippen and Jordan. I mean, that's pretty much, I mean, Paul George is nowhere near that bracket, but I mean, they're capable defensively to do that. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's what their solution is going to be. Cause that's the only thing that's going to stop them. Right. Cause if I'm trying to win, man, it's stop Luka or nothing. Let Tim Hardaway Jr. and Maxi Kleba and Jalen Brunson beat you.
And I'm going to throw, I don't mind grabbing this. I don't know what the series over under is now, but I don't mind. You know what? Let's have some fun. Clippers minus 1.5.
Ooh.
Four straight. Let's go. Plus 750.
Well, wow. So basically for them to win the rest of the games in the series, which honestly, if they are going to win it, that might be the way they have to do it. So you have, wait, so your Clippers minus 1.5 games, basically them to win out at seven, what?
Plus 750. Let's go.
Well, you're going to have to get the mechanical parlay out there, Ryan, to see value.
I was doing it in my head. So if the Clippers are going to be small favorites on the road, you figure you're looking at 2.5 with those two parlayed. And then you tie that to a minus what? 300 plus. It's close. These prices are always close, but it's more fun to say plus 750 than to remind the audience four separate times to make a bet. Let's go, Sean.
Yeah, let's go.
One more to throw at you. Yeah. I'm gonna take the Clippers, win the series 4-3 at plus 340.
Ooh.
I think this one's gonna go seven.
So you can take that and the.
Oh yeah,
man! I'm gonna really burn a lot of money into the Clippers. I think we just have to go to Game Five. Right, right.
This is gonna end up either great for us or fucking horrible. Yeah, let's see.
Yeah, Luka just goes off again.
With my Sixers.
I do have some Luka shares in best ball, so.
Oh, nice.
That's a nice hedge.
Wise.
Sixers laying 5.5 as they head to Washington. No word yet on whether. Whether Westbrook will be able to play due to the popcorn related injury. 76ers laying 5.5 minus 230. Wizards plus 190 coming the other way. Maybe there's a world where the Wizards really show up and go off here, but I don't know. This Sixers team with Doc, with the way Simmons, his aggressiveness, but certainly, you know, Beal is getting his, but still it feels like they're just look in control in the series. With the exception, again, they started out a little slow in the first half. Kind of feels like the Sixers are in the Wizards' heads. And yeah, minus 5.5 on the road, not big enough to scare me away. Titus, am I just looking at this with rose-colored glasses? Are they Wizards have a chance of covering here as a home dog?
No, I'm telling you, bro. It's 76ers got this locked up. I think this is going to be an early sweep. The Wizards just don't have enough. Even if Westbrook does gut it out with his popcorn injury, ankle, whatever, it's not enough, man. Like they don't have any front court presence to stop Embiid or Simmons. And I think the Sixers actually just look too deep. Like we see George Hill play extremely well. I think that was a great move at the deadline to scoop up a veteran, especially for these moments for like the playoffs. They don't have enough firepower to keep up with them.
And
I think they're gonna have to shoot lights out to take down the Sixers. So nah, Sixers 5.5. That's modest.
Well,
I wouldn't be surprised that they won this more closer to. I was actually surprised. I was talking to Munaf about this. I was actually expecting this line to be closer to 9.5, you know, maybe 10.5. But you know, at 5.5, yeah, that's easy. Take that,
Sean. What do you have to say about the reports that Russ, he was really the rage was coming because he saw a hole in the bottom of the popcorn container and didn't know what was in there.
That classic.
In fairness, if you
can look that up in Urban Dictionary if you want the explanation.
If someone threw a popcorn on you that had a hole in the bottom, you might be pissed off too.
The symbolic nature. Yeah, and again, to Dan's point, the bench scoring for the Sixers has been there. I mean, Bradley Beal has gotten his, and it's still like not really enough. Wizards shot what, 55% game one? And they still lost by seven. Now, granted, this is in Washington, but I don't know, Kramer. You like to be a hater on the Philly on the Sixers in general. Are you taking the Wizards as a home dog here?
I was wrong last game, and it did seem like that Washington was going to maybe get a game. We all like the minus 2.5, but maybe they get a game. But really, like they had been covering well,
and they are good against the spread.
And that's the angle here, is they're coming home like. I don't know if this Sixers team, it fits that category of definitely going to take care of business so they can sweep. I think they let one go. Mm. I think Doc and the Sixers let one go, and it makes sense to take this one. This is the last time I go to the Wizards. Well,
I think I'm more worried about game four, honestly, because then the Wizards back is against the wall. Truly, Sixers know they can close out at home. To me, the game four is slightly trickier.
Maybe you're right.
Than game three.
This one is the more obvious one. I'm gonna take the obvious angle. And again, it just seems like if maybe they're just not the team they've been over this past, you know, month and a half.
Jazz last game of the slate here. Jazz laying five at the Grizzlies. Grizzlies a plus 160 home dog, a total 224. Oh man, I even though they, you know, game two, I got cute maybe by taking the Grizzlies there. Mitchell returned. They kind of went off, put up 141 points.
Pointed out that the minus 345 was like an insanely crazy adjustment for the Utah series price.
Yeah. No, you did.
It's all the way back up to 700 and change.
Which is pretty crazy, because I mean the series is split, but I'm not taking the Grizzlies probably at plus 490. Although I will say this, you know, at home Saturday night in Memphis, I think they got a game in them, and I like Memphis plus five. Ja Morant has shown he's kind of got another level, in the same way we've seen that with. The kid from Atlanta. Jeez, I sound
Trey old. Young.
Trey Young. Yeah.
You are old.
In the same way we saw Trey Young kind of with like a gear shift to the playoffs, we've seen that a little bit with Ja Morant. I've been impressed. And I think, you know, between the travel and just how Memphis is going to be rocking, I think, come Saturday night, plus five, I think this is a game. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Jazz pull it out, but I think five is enough to have me back in the Grizz. What are you doing here, Dan?
I'm riding with you, money. I like Memphis, man. Like, I think that they've proven that they can hang with this Jazz team, and they're, I don't think anyone's shook by the Jazz. Like, yeah, okay, the Donovan Mitchell effect. He came back, he played well. I think he had 23 points. But I actually feel very comfortable with the Memphis on their home turf, man. Like, I think we're going to see Valachunas hasn't been as effective. I think we're going to see him step it up a little bit more. Dylan Brooks has been amazing. I think he's playing the best basketball that we've ever seen him play. And Ja Morant, like, it's, you can't state how well this kid's been playing, and he stepped it up another notch, catching alley-oops, shooting threes. I mean, he's doing whatever he wants to get to the rack. So I think that this series is actually going to be more competitive. Despite Donovan Mitchell coming back, man, give me the Memphis Grizzlies here plus five.
I like it.
Yeah. See, I think Memphis stealing that game woke the Jazz up, and they know that they have to steal the game back. Mm. And I, you know, this is another game. This is another series I might circle and say like, hey, it's still not too late to maybe grab Jazz to win 4-1 plus 175, because you know, I get it. There's a lot of people that are going to say the same thing, right? Like, oh, Memphis, they got that home court. Ja Morant's a fun player. But I think there's a reason Utah is a huge favorite. Well, and I know they're away from home, but I just think there is a, you know, 80% of the time, if these teams play like their mean game, Utah's winning. Now, the cover in this one, the spread is right on that. It's big enough to be backdoored, and it's big enough to be a problem in a close game. I'm going to still take Utah though, because like I said, I think,
and I'm kind of leaning,
I'm going to ride the wave against this recency bias towards Ja Morant and some of the games he's had.
I think there's a, I think you're right where Utah feels like they have to steal one, but I think that's going to be game four. And I think even the more I'm looking at this game, I think even Memphis plus 160 on the money line strikes my interest a little bit. Not going to lie here. So I'm on Memphis plus 5. Kramer, you like Utah minus 5 and then threw out the Jazz to win 4-1. Dan, you got Memphis plus 5 for the game. Any thoughts on the series or anything else in the game?
I think I'm going to go Utah wins the series 4-2
at
plus 220.
Ooh, that's a spicy one. Cause it does feel like they, and maybe I'm picking the wrong game, but you're 4-2 Utah sounds right. Like I think Memphis has another, just watching that game, they can win another one of these games. Like that just from the feel of the game. And maybe I'm underestimating what Mitchell brought, but like even that game too, it wasn't a must win for Memphis. It was like a clear letdown spot. They were riding that wave of Donovan Mitchell. I think at home, I think they're going to win another one of these games at home.
Yeah. I'll go out on a limb. Utah doesn't lose a game in the first round rest of the way. Neither does the Clippers. I'll say both those teams win out. That's if parlay that, like figure it out. That's the angle.
All right. Now time. We got a lock dog and maybe a series prop we want to throw out. Of course, brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Use that promo code SGPN over at underdogfantasy.com. They have NBA daily stuff going off. You got the NFL Best Ball Mania 2, where you can win $1 million. Only a $25 entry fee. And again, use that promo code SGPN so they know we sent you. Dan, how you feeling? Jalen Hurts. I mean,
oh no,
there's
basketball.
There's
talk.
Some fun hype going on the Hurts train. I'm all in. I'm even getting, you know, excited fantasy wise. How you feeling about the birds right now?
Man, I'm so glad you asked me that question. I'm going to be doing some fantasy writing and analysis for the SGPN network. And I got lucky and did some early projections for the NFC East. And I'll tell you what, man, my numbers for Jalen Hurts are looking pretty gaudy, but I'm telling you right now, this guy's a QB1 out the gates. Under Sirianni's offense, man, I think it's interesting because he was playing with Phillip Rivers before, who never ran at all. But this rushing attack, I think with this revamped line, we got a couple of new linemen there. I think we're going to see an explosive offense that is going to give at least our division foes fits. And I think that Jalen Hurts has been written off for a lot of his career. I think I love what he's been saying to the press. He's open to competition. He's not scared of having to battle for his job. He lost his job before, right? So I think this kid has a high IQ. He's playing with his boy in Devontae Smith. Sign me up, man. I think people are really down on Miles Sanders. I think he's also going to have a better year when he's actually going to get the rock, because we know that that Sirianni's offenses love to pound the rock. And I'm expecting like 600, 700 rushing yards out of Jalen Hurts at least 3,800 passing yards. I think it's easily attainable in a 17 game season. There's probably going to be some games like the Eagles defense has some improvements to make, but I think they're going to be playing from behind at times where you'll see this guy can actually throw better than 52% for a season. So
yeah,
high on Hurts.
Such sound objective. I mean, it is Jalen Hurts fits into the bucket with the Bengals, some of these other teams, right? Like bad defense, good offense, could be down by a lot, score those garbage fantasy points. It is very cute how these Eagles fans are getting so optimistic about the season. By the way, did you
feel better about Daniel Jones?
Oh, yes, I did.
Retooled wide receiver core.
Retooled arms. You see how shredded that man is? Arm talent, baby.
Got a bow flex during quarantine.
Oh, man. Slightly aroused.
Doesn't help your pocket awareness. I think regardless of our own Eagles bias, Jalen Hurts is definitely a fantasy buy in my mind, because their biggest issue right now for the Eagles, I think, as a team, is the secondary. There's still a chance to get a second cornerback, but that could be an issue. And if they're playing from behind, going up against a prevent defense that's sitting back, that means there's rush lanes, there's easy stuff underneath for PPR. So, fantasy gods. All right, let's close it out.
I will say, the last thing I'll say about the fantasy thing, again, I ended up with a Jalen Hurts and Jalen Reagor stack, which is
a lot of buzz about Reagor, kind of
really
sneakily under the radar.
Well,
bubble screens, Disappointing.
How do you feel about that, Sean? I'm a little lukewarm on Rager. I think I need to see a bit more.
Second-year receiver
is going to soak up a lot of those targets.
I was disappointed by Rager last year, but I mean, the case for him to have a bounce back year and, you know, to how you would explain it, I think is pretty easy. He seems to have a good connection with Hurts. So I'm not ready to give up on him yet, but I know what you mean. He was a disappointment. He was also banged up. The no preseason thing, I think, really hurt a guy like Jalen Rager. So,
and for more Eagles talk,
Diehard Eagles podcast. We broke down a bunch of Eagles prop bets. So, even if you're just listening for betting, there's a ton of stuff there.
And at Kramer Centric on Twitter, if you want to see the picture of Danny Dimes shredded, it's pretty awesome.
All right, Kramer, what's your lock? Series thoughts.
Lock. I think it's, I mean, chalky as hell, but give me Brooklyn. They're rolling on this one. Dog, you know what? I'll take the Hawks -9.5. Like I told you, that's +200. And for like a fun play, I'll throw the Jazz one out there. Jazz don't lose a game from here on out. Win the series 4-1 +195.
Ooh. Okay. All right. For my lock, you know, Sixers, baby. Sixers -5.5 for my dog. The more I think about it, I think Memphis +160 on the money line, series price. The Clippers just have to win this game. I mean, there's too much money in LA and in this market. Steve Ballmer, he's got that Microsoft money. One of these crooked refs are going to help him win this series. So give me Clippers +200 on the series price. Dan, closing it out. Lock dog series bet you like from here on out.
Yeah, lock dog. I'm gonna go with the Milwaukee Bucks to close it out on Saturday, man.
Ooh.
The Heat look awful.
Yeah,
don't believe in them, and unfortunately, I picked them to win the series. Yeah. Lost that one, so I'm gonna have to head second round here. And then my dog, I'm gonna rock with Memphis, man. I really like them at +5. Let's roll with them.
Okay. And any other? So sorry for your series. Are you using Milwaukee?
Series?
Yeah, sorry.
Series bet. I'm gonna go. Ooh, I got to rock with the Clips here, man. I think they're going to show up, end up winning this series 4-3 +340. I know they're down 0-2, but I'm riding with them.
And what you'll see when they win this game in walking away fashion, hopefully, is you're going to see the line overcorrect. I do. I think they're going to become a bigger favorite than they should become. So this is the time to buy them. You're going to be too late to get on the Clippers bandwagon. They aren't losing again in the first round, Sean.
It seems like now is the time to get on the bandwagon. I can unleash some Steve Ballmer gifts as they crawl their way back. And you know series. What?
They're not losing game five. Cause there's a strong chance I'll be in the building.
Oh yeah. Look out.
We'll see.
Might be heading to a Clippers game live. Thank you guys as always for tuning into the podcast. Make sure you drop us a rating and review on the old Apple podcast for your chance to win gear. Merch Monday upgraded to hoodie season. Every Monday, we're picking a review to reward a sweet SGP hoodie, and you can check it out. Merch Monday announced every Monday on Twitter at Gambling Podcast. So give us a follow there. Make sure you check out Dan Titus on Twitter at Dan Titus. Very easy to remember. He's hosting the NBA Gambling Podcast as well. Does a ton of other stuff all over the web.
Sean, fun fact, NBA Gambling Podcast,
yes,
5 days a week.
Ka-ching.
I don't know if you like the NBA.
Thank you for participating in the Sports Gambling Podcast.
Again, give it a daily listen. The guys are killing it over there. Tons of great stuff. Good action and a lot of fun. So check them out. For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean, second the Money Green, and he is Ryan.
Don't worry, Sean. I've asked Danny Dimes which pre-workout he uses.
Kramer, let it ride.